Good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. You know, we started a series a couple of weeks ago that we're calling Enter, based on Psalm 100, verse 4, where it tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, that we're supposed to enter into God's courts with praise, and it's giving us kind of a word picture of somebody moving into the temple of God, coming from the outside, moving deeper into the presence of God. And it's not just giving us instruction on if you're ever interested in going into the presence of God, here's a couple pointers. The way that's stated in the Hebrew, it's actually a command to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, get yourself into his presence with praise. We talked earlier in the series about how those of us who know Jesus, we've been recreated, we're new creatures, new creations. And with becoming a new creature, you were created for a new environment. And that environment or that atmosphere is the presence of God. You've been made to be someplace that before you couldn't be. Before you were on the outside of God's presence looking in, but you've been recreated to be in the presence of God. And we're told how to get into that atmosphere, how to get into that environment is through being thankful and through praising God. And it's not supposed to be someplace that you visit once or twice a week. You're supposed to live in this environment. You're supposed to live constantly having an attitude of praise. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's the way we're supposed to live, keeping yourself in this atmosphere. We looked at examples from nature, whether it be plants or animals. Things are created to exist and to flourish in a certain environment. If you were here when we started this series, we talked about if you took a polar bear and put him in the desert, how miserable he would be. Or if you took a palm tree and put it at the North Pole. When you take something that was designed for a certain atmosphere, take it out and put it someplace else, you're going to make life hard, you're going to make life difficult, and you're probably going to make life short. And the same thing is true for you and I. We've been created for a certain atmosphere, the presence of God. So we said that the devil tries to keep people from praising God, because he wants to keep them from the presence of God. If he can get you out of the presence of God, all the negative things that would happen to that palm tree at the North Pole will happen automatically if he can just make it difficult, make you too lazy, too whatever, to actually begin to open your mouth and praise God. If he can get us to be complainers, people that aren't worshipers of God, he will keep us people that it's difficult, if not impossible, to continue serving God. It'll certainly not be enjoyable to serve God. So we're being intentional about praising God. God inhabits the praises of his people. I told you last week or the week before, I like frogs. I love frogs. Frogs are always welcome at my home. But I've lived where I've lived for 15 years and never saw a frog in my backyard until I tried to have a pool for my kids and neglected it until it turned into a swamp, right? And all of a sudden, I create an atmosphere that all of my welcoming, no matter how much I say I like frogs, I mean, Kermit the Frog's my favorite actor. I've seen all of his movies. None of that matters until I create the environment, the atmosphere, and then frogs start to move in. It's the same thing with you and I when it comes to the presence of God. Oh, well, God, if he shows up, that's nice. He's always welcome here. Well, we've got to create the atmosphere, the environment that draws him in, and that environment is praise. Last week, we started to talk about a couple of the things that praise does in the life of a believer. We looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We talked about how praise, keeping our mouth full of praise, keeps that passion stirred up on the inside of you. We talked about becoming a certain temperature spiritually where the enemy can't keep his hands on us, that we're so on fire for the Lord, so passionate, so zealous, that when the enemy tries to touch us, tries to touch our household, tries to touch our kids, we're just too hot to be handled by the enemy. And the way that we do that is keeping our mouths full of praise. We talked about how praise causes your increase or your harvest to be released. Psalm 67 says, let all the people praise you, Lord, then the earth will yield its harvest. That there is a progression. The harvest, the increase that belongs to you will be released when you begin to praise the Lord. And then we also talked about a lack of praise causes people to lose sight of the blessings that are already in their lives. So many people will squander wonderful blessings that God has given them, wonderful opportunities, husbands that will squander their children, their wives. I mean, we could go on and on all the different situations that could apply to when they fail to see just how blessed they are. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 that there are certain people that even when good comes into their life, that they won't be able to see it. We saw in Romans chapter 1 that people that refuse to give thanks, people who refuse to worship, that the eyes of their heart or their mind became dark. They weren't able to comprehend anymore. But when we keep our mouth full of praise, we keep ourselves aware of the blessings that God has already put in our lives. Amen? So we're going to continue this morning, but before we jump into the Word of God, would you pray with me one more time? Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here with us this morning. God, there's none like you. You're worthy. Father, I ask that you would bless us with eyes to see, bless us with ears to hear. Holy Spirit, come and teach us. Come and show us things from the Word of God. Spirit of understanding, illuminate our hearts this morning, God. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, it says this. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. One of my favorite things to talk about, whether it be preaching a message or just sitting with somebody and having a cup of coffee and talking about things, I love to talk about the will of God, trying to discern the will of God, talking about finding His will for our lives and being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As you read the Word of God, there are verses that talk about the path that God has marked out for us, that even while we were in our mother's womb, God knew what your days were supposed to look like. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about acknowledging God, trusting in Him, not leaning on your own understanding. And He will direct your paths or make your paths straight. So there's this idea in the Word of God that there is a path for you to travel, what your life should look like. So whether it's a young person trying to decide where they're going to go to college or what career God wants them to have, just wrestling with God, why am I here? What is my purpose in this life? Or who should I marry? Or other decisions that we face just as we go through life, what job to accept? What town should I live in? How many kids should I have? Should I buy that house? All these decisions, it's important for us to figure out the will of God, to be sensitive to the will of God. And that's appropriate. Again, I love talking about that. But one of the things we see in the verse that we just read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is something that is often overlooked or downplayed when it comes to trying to pursue and find the will of God for our lives. It says that giving thanks in all circumstances, giving thanks no matter what's going on, that is the will of God for those of us who belong to Jesus. So if you want to know God's will, God, I want to make sure that I'm doing what you made me to do. I want to walk in the path that you have for me. You have to be thankful if you're going to follow God's will for your life, because His will for your life is what? Be thankful in all circumstances. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you marry. It doesn't matter what house you live in. It doesn't matter what job you take. None of those things matter. If you're not being thankful, you are out of the will of God for your life. It's impossible to be following God's will for your life and not be thankful, because His will for your life is to be thankful in all circumstances. So you can see how important it is to God and how important it is to us. Let me read you from Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. It says, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." So God says, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors, truly pleases me. So if we want to really honor God, we really want to bring a smile to His face, He says, being thankful. He wants you and I, that is His will for our lives, that's the sacrifice that truly honors Him, that we would be thankful. And then He says, if you keep to my path, what path? Well, this path of being thankful, right? That's His will. That's the path He has for our lives. If we keep ourselves on this path of being thankful, which likening being thankful to a path shouldn't really surprise us, because from Psalm 100 verse 4, we've already seen that the way that you enter through His gates is how? With thanksgiving. Just about any gate that you see has what leading up to it? It has a path that arrives at that gate. So the gate, we come through that gate with thanksgiving. Well, what's the path we travel on to get there? It's thanksgiving. And He says, if you keep to this path, if you follow my path, I'm going to show, or I'm going to reveal, I'm going to manifest my salvation. Let me read it to you again. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. That word salvation in the Hebrew means deliverance. It means rescue. It means prosperity. It means victory. That if we continue traveling a path of being thankful, we're going to see God's provision. We're going to see God's rescuing. We're going to see victory. We're going to see prosperity. So walking on the path of being thankful is how you arrive at a place of victory. Let me read a couple of verses where you see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you notice, I'll read a couple of examples. But notice when the Bible talks about you and I walking in victory, you and I walking in triumph, you and I being more than conquerors, pay attention to how often that is paired with being thankful. Because being thankful is the path that you follow for God to show you his salvation, for God to reveal or make manifest his victory. I'll just give you a couple of examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So before he's celebrating the victory we have in Jesus Christ, what does he say? Thanks be to God, he gives us victory. There is victory. How is it obtained? What comes first? Being thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Again, you see, there is a pathway that you travel that leads to triumph and victory, God showing his salvation, God showing his power in your life. Thanksgiving is a path that leads to victory, and it's also a pathway that leads to provision. A lot of people have the mindset that thanksgiving is just associated with having an abundance. You know, even this week, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving, and we'll pile as much food on our tables as they can handle. We'll sit down at the table, you know, so much food on it, you can barely see the person sitting across from you. And in light of all this abundance, look at this incredible meal. We'll awkwardly, you know, maybe go around the table. Before we eat, why don't we each say something we're thankful for? There's nothing wrong with that. My family will do that this Thursday. But we associate being thankful just coming out of abundance. That when there's more than enough, there's something to be thankful for. When there isn't enough, what is there to be? There's nothing to be thankful for. That we complain or we just don't say anything. And we should certainly be thankful when there's more than enough. But that verse is letting us know something very important. Thanksgiving is not just something that comes out of abundance. Thanksgiving is actually the pathway that leads to abundance. And you can see this modeled in Jesus' life. When you read about the miracles that Jesus did, there are all kinds of miracles. Miracles come in different classes. So there's healing, so many healings that Jesus did, and such a variety of healings. Jesus healed people that were crippled. He healed people that were paralyzed. He healed people that had withered limbs. He healed people that had blind eyes, and he made it so they could see. He healed people that were deaf. He healed people that were leprous. All kinds of healing miracles. But then there were also other kinds of miracles, like Jesus walking on the water, or Jesus speaking to the storm and causing the wind and the waves just to die down and become peaceful. But then there's a handful of other miracles that deal specifically with provision. When there was not enough, when Jesus was facing a tremendous lack, where there wasn't enough, like when Jesus fed the 4,000 people, plus women and children, so maybe 10 to 15,000 people, and they've only got a couple of fish and a couple pieces of bread. That is severe lack. There is not enough. Or when Jesus fed the 5,000, similar situation, thousands and thousands of people, and there is not enough to go around. Now, one of the things that sets these miracles apart, that they're provision miracles, but what also sets them apart is what Jesus says in the middle of this miracle. Because Jesus says all kinds of things when a miracle is taking place. Sometimes he says, "Rise and walk." Sometimes he says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Sometimes he says, he rebukes a fever or rebukes a spirit of infirmity. But in these situations, when he's dealing with an issue of provision, a miracle with something, there's not enough and we need something to happen here. In those instances, Jesus takes time first to open his mouth and begin to be thankful. Now, we know that Jesus is always thankful because it's the will of God that we'd be thankful in all circumstances. So Jesus is always thankful. But you can read in each of the four Gospels, each account, they all document that before this miracle took place, you don't see it with other miracles, Jesus was very intentional when it came to miracles where there is not enough and something needs to happen here. We need to go from a place of lack to a place of abundance. Each and every time, Jesus first takes a moment to open his mouth and begins to thank God. God, we give you thanks. Father, you're so good to us. I give you thanks. God, there's none like you. I praise you. And that is how he arrived at abundance each and every time. Because there is a pathway that leads to provision, a pathway that leads to abundance, and that pathway is the pathway of being thankful. So you see it with the 4,000. You see it with the 5,000. It's not exactly the same, but you can even see it when Jesus heals Lazarus. There are some similarities because you're dealing, again, with a lack, aren't you? Not enough time. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. His sister saying, Jesus, if you would have just come sooner. Jesus, you're too late. Before Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb, what does he do? He stops everything, says, Lord, I give you thanks. Father, I thank you that you hear me. I thank you, you always hear me. He begins to give thanks, and that leads to the miracle of provision. Thanks is a pathway that leads to provision. It leads to victory. But certain pathways, you've got to be very intentional to follow. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about a broad path with a broad gate that many people travel. And he also talks about a narrow path with a narrow gate that only a few people travel. Now, I know he's talking about the road that leads to hell or leads to destruction, and another path that leads to life. But there's a principle that he is hitting on here that applies to this path of thanksgiving as well. That a lot of people can travel the broad way unintentionally, just going with the flow, doing what everybody else does. But if you want to be on that narrow path, the path that's pleasing to God, nobody ends up there by accident. It takes intentionality. You've got to think about it and put yourself meaningfully on that path. And that's something that applies to being thankful. And anybody can say thanks. I'm talking about being genuinely thankful, sincerely full of gratitude. You've got to put thought into it. You've got to arrive there intentionally. So if you want to be thankful, then you have to be thoughtful. You can't ever be thankful unless you're first thoughtful. You've got to be thoughtful if you want to be thankful. In Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and they stood off at a distance. Jesus was traveling from one town to another, and they started to call out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. You know the story. Jesus says, listen, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. And so these lepers head off to show themselves to the priest. Now, leprosy was a disease that caused you to be quarantined. You couldn't be around people. That's why they stood off at a distance and just kind of yelled to Jesus. It affected your skin, but it wasn't just a skin disease. It actually affected your nervous system. And it would cause people to lose feeling in their extremities, lose feeling in their skin, which would ultimately lead to people injuring themselves and losing fingers and toes in different parts of their body because they couldn't feel pain anymore. But it would break down tissues and cause them to degenerate. And it would actually start to cause the people to become deformed. It would affect their facial features. It could twist their bones and cause limbs to start taking on different shapes. And so these 10 lepers with this horrible disease start going to the priest to show themselves. And on their way, they realize that they've been cleansed of leprosy. They don't have it anymore. Maybe they're like Naaman, who saw their skin started to become like a baby's skin. It started to have that fresh look to it again. Or maybe they started saying, you know, I can feel my fingers. I can feel my skin again. And they realized that they had been cleansed. But one of them decided that he was going to go back to Jesus. And if you read that story in Luke chapter 17, it says that he came before Jesus, crying out in a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell down on his face and began to give thanks. Let me read Jesus' response from Luke chapter 17. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So he comes back to give thanks to God, to glorify God and give thanks. And as he's thanking God, Jesus says, if my numbers are right, there was 10. There's just one here. Where are the other nine? Has only this one come back? So Jesus was dealing with a lot of people, right? He was sometimes healing multitudes of people, so thousands and thousands of people. Page after page through the Gospels, he's constantly dealing with people. But when it comes to people giving thanks, you can see that Jesus was well aware of who had given thanks and who had not. He's running the numbers. He knows exactly. There's one that's given thanks, nine. He takes a couple of verses to talk about it, which means it's significant. Thanks matters to God. God keeps track of who has said thanks and who hasn't. God keeps track of people that are thankful for what he's done, and he's well aware of those of us who have not bothered to return and give thanks. Now, as they're walking down the road and they realize that they've been cleansed, I'm sure they were all very excited. They turned to each other and gave each other high fives or high fours, you know, however many they had left because they're lepers. You know, they're celebrating however lepers do. But it was only one of them that decided, you know what I'm going to do? I've got to go back and say thank you. I've got to go and give thanks. It took intentionality. He didn't arrive back at Jesus. Jesus was traveling. He had to track them down. That didn't happen by accident, that he found himself laying before Jesus, crying out in a loud voice. He had to think it through. It was intentional, and it mattered to God. That was thoughtful of him, wasn't it? It was thoughtful of him to say, you know what, I'm going to go back and give thanks. Because it requires being thoughtful if you're going to be thankful. You have to be thoughtful if you're going to be thankful. Anybody can say thanks. But if you want to be really thankful, you've got to apply yourself and be intentional. To be on that narrow path, you've got to be intentional about it. You could take almost anything. So many things that we take for granted. Probably very few of us woke up this morning and were very thankful for our ability to see. But when you start to think about it, you can get yourself to a place of being pretty grateful for your ability to see. But it requires thought. What would my life be like if I couldn't see? Because some people can't see. What would that limit me from being able to do? You know, this morning, I get up early in the morning and leave. I peeked in the door and saw my girls sleeping before I left the house. Just that image of your children, all the things that you get to see with your eyes. Thank God that I can see the leaves changing in the fall, the frost on the grass this morning, all the things that you get to see, all of the colors, all of the wonderful things, the people that you know from a distance, just because you can see them. So many memories that you have in your mind that are the result of what you've been able to perceive with your eyes. You start to think about it, how you're able to function on and on. God, thank you that my eyes can see. God, I think, find something and begin to think about it, and you can arrive at thankful, but you've got to start with thoughtful. Jesus, when he healed Lazarus, when he called Lazarus out of the grave, you know what he started giving thanks for? God, thank you that you can hear me. God, thanks that when I talk to you, you hear me when I talk. That sounds kind of minor, but when you start to think about it, once you become thoughtful of it, you become thankful of it. So many people lack thankfulness because they lack thoughtfulness. You've got to apply yourself. So I want to challenge you to think of thankfulness as a path that you've got to apply your mind and be intentional to keep yourself on it and keep yourself aware. The moment you step off the path of thankfulness, you step out of the will of God for your life. Because that's the will of God in all circumstances, that you would give thanks. That is the will of God for those of us who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, if you continue to read that story in Luke chapter 17, there's only one man out of those 10 that actually received healing. They were all cleansed, but only one man does it say he was made whole or he was healed. He was made completely well. So the leprosy had left their body. But increase, provision, prosperity comes on the pathway of thankfulness. So the man that came back to give thanks to Jesus, if we read the next verse, Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Or the King James Version says, your faith has made you whole. The New Living Translation says, your faith has healed you. That's the only one of the 10 that not only had their life free from leprosy, but everything that had become twisted was made straight. Everything that was missing was restored. Everything that had become deformed because of that disease was brought back the way that it was intended to be. He was fully made whole. Why? Because he was traveling on a path of thankfulness, and it brought him to a place of God's prosperity. He saw God's full salvation because of thankfulness. You've got a lot to be thankful for, but you've got to think about it. You know, we know the things to say, that God, I thank you for my family. I'm just thankful for life. I'm thankful for health. And we can say those things, and that's good. But you've got to begin to apply your mind and become thoughtful of it if you really want to be thankful of it. Just pick anything. The fact that you're here this morning, of all the other places you could be. People that live in this country, it's got its faults. But it's really the best option available at this point in time, amen? You live in this country and you know Jesus, we should be the most thankful people on the face of the planet. But that requires us being the most thoughtful people on the face of the planet. You can take anything for granted if you fail to think about it properly. So in just a couple minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to give thanks, to lift our voices. In fact, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. There's one more story I want to look at before we do that. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Talking about how powerful giving thanks is, how powerful praising God is, the power that worship has. One of the places we can see that, Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So this woman comes to Jesus and begins to cry out to him. She's got a need in her life. There's something wrong with her little girl. She's demon-possessed. Says at the end she was healed, so it was causing some kind of infirmity, some kind of sickness from this demonic oppression. She comes to Jesus, and she begins to cry out to him. And it says that he answered her not a word. He didn't respond to her at all. I don't know if you've ever felt like that in your own prayer life, that you're crying out to God, you're pleading with him, and it just feels like, man, God is completely ignoring you. And then the disciples tell her, you've got to get out of here. Would you please just leave us alone? You've got to go. Now, we've seen this kind of thing before. In Mark chapter 10, people were bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples rebuked him and said, you got to quit bothering Jesus. But Jesus got angry. It says that he was indignant. And he said, no, you let these children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You let these people bring their children. He began to bless the children. So we see something similar in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus saying, you've got to get out of here. But this time and said, no, you let this woman come. Jesus sides with the disciples. And he says, yeah, you've got to get out of here. I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent to you. She was a Gentile woman. I'm not here for you. I'm on my way to go minister to more Israelites. So this woman is faced with God. Seems like he's just totally ignoring her. And when he does start to speak, he's heading in the opposite direction. But then something happens. Something that happens, even though Jesus says, I'm on my way to someone else, something keeps He keeps him from moving away. It says in verse 25 that she came and she worshiped him. So even when Jesus is ignoring her, even when he says, I'm going someplace else to help someplace else, she begins to worship God. She comes and falls before him again and starts to sing his praises, starts to worship him. And even though out of his own mouth, he's stated his mission. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm on my way to do. Here's the reason I was sent. In that worship, it was like it created an atmosphere. He couldn't get away from it. Even though he said, I'm going someplace else. Oh, God, I praise you. God, there's none like you. You are so mighty that I know there's no one else that has what I need but you, Jesus. You're so wonderful. He couldn't get out of that situation because her worship was holding him there, and it resulted in her getting what he basically said he wasn't going to do. What could you do to get God to do something that he otherwise wouldn't do? When you begin to worship him, when you begin to sing his praises, it turned the whole situation for this woman, didn't it? She could have been offended. She could have been put off. I must have offended God somehow. I guess I'm not getting through today. I guess God doesn't want... No, thankful in all circumstances. She didn't know what kind of breakthrough was lying just on the other side of that time of worship. What if I just start praising him? What if I just start worshiping? It turned the heart of Jesus, and she left there with a miracle. So we're going to create that same environment here in just a couple of moments. We're going to begin to worship God. I don't know what things it feels like God has ignored you on, what things you've cried out. God, I need something to happen in this situation. And maybe you feel like you're hurt up to that point, like he's answering you not a word. It feels like God gives me zero response. I've been praying for this for so long. Fill in the blank. He's answering me not a word. It feels like Jesus is going to everybody else, like he's more interested in everyone else but me. Turn that situation this morning. She ended up being commended because of her faith. How did she turn the situation? She came before him worshiping. So in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to worship the Lord. I want to challenge you to mix your request with worship. If you need healing, Jesus, I pray that I know, God, there's none like you. You're a mighty healer. No sickness, no disease intimidates you. God, there's none beside you. Everything bows its knee at the name of Jesus. If you need provision, God, I praise you. What a mighty provider you are. All the silver, all the gold belongs to you. God, there's none like you. Whatever it is, begin to mix your request in worship and praise. And so in a few minutes, I'll invite you forward. If you'd like prayer this morning, if you'd like someone to lay hands on you or just agree with you in prayer, we'll make that available. Otherwise, we'll stand to our feet. We'll begin to give God thanks. We'll begin to worship him.